Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Cesspool Radio Program, Saturday evening, November 5th. I'm your host, James Edwards, coming to you live tonight from Nashville, Tennessee. Paul Fromm's hotel room, no less. Paul Fromm, the great Canadian activist, defending our rights to free speech, trying to defend Canada's borders, and much, much more. Paul Fromm vacated his room so I could use it as my makeshift studio. Coming to you from the Council of Conservative Citizens meeting, my wife and daughter are in tow, and would not be a good idea to do the show from my room tonight with a 19-month-old running around, especially my 19-month-old, who is always so full of energy. But thankfully, Paul has lent me his room, and as I broadcast from his digs, we are still being transmitted via satellite by our great radio network to all of our affiliate stations across the country, including our flagship in Memphis, Tennessee, where you just heard Keith Alexander reporting from, AM 1380 WLRM, in downtown, on Bill Street. I got to tell you, I'm just going to try to set the stage here. Paul Fromm, as I mentioned in the first hour, he's got all of his literature. I'm in a veritable library here. I could not possibly run short on material to bring to your attention tonight. Paul's just got suitcases full of literature and pamphlets and brochures and newspapers, and it's overwhelming. I have to close my eyes, or it's just too much. But we've also got the TV on in here, and I'm watching. He's got it on Fox News, so I'm outing Paul Fromm right now. When I walked into his room to do the show, he was watching Fox News. So be sure to tell him, be sure to give him, ragging him about that. Although, you know, Fox is okay. They got some okay shows. But Huckabee's on right now, the Huckabee Show. You know, it's a once-a-week show kind of like us. He's following our lead doing the Saturday Night Live thing. And Lou Dobbs is on the Mike Huckabee Show right now. And I don't know what's going on with Lou Dobbs, but it looks like he's dyed his hair and gotten a spray tan. Lou Dobbs looks like a member of the Beach Boys right now as I sit here and watch it. I do not remember him looking like that when he was on CNN. But nevertheless, it's actually a little creepy. So I'm going to turn my back to the TV and get back to the news. And the news this week, or at least the news we're going to be reporting to you this segment, is, once again, revolves around us. The Pat Buchanan interview, as promised. We're going to get back to that because they will not leave it alone. You know, I'd be all too happy to move on and talk about other pressing affairs of state, but how can we when, we're still dominating so many of these stories? The Anti-Defamation League finally came to the bash Pat Buchanan and James Edwards party a couple of days ago by issuing a press release to all media outlets that's literally littered with malevolent and unwarranted personal attacks. I call them the ironically named Anti-Defamation League because that's exactly all that they do is defame people and slime them, smear them. But I will give the ADL credit on one thing. You know, the Southern Poverty Law Center, when they attack us, they always send, you know, a member of their junior varsity team. This show has earned enough respect. We deserve enough respect that when you libel us and when you slander us, by God, at least send the big dog out to do it. Thankfully, the ADL at least shows us the respect that we deserve in so much as when they smear us, we get smeared by Abraham Foxman himself, old honest, dishonest Abe Foxman. But here's the story, the press release, I should say, issued from ADL headquarters in New York, New York, November 2nd, and it reads, "The Anti-Defamation League voices grave concern that Pat Buchanan, a political analyst for MSNBC, continues to openly express anti-Semitic, racist, and anti-immigrant views." So right there, the Anti-Defamation League has defamed Buchanan by calling him an anti-Semite, a racist, and an anti-immigrant, whatever that is. They normally would put xenophobe right there. I want to say something about anti-Semitism and what the ADL refers to as anti-Semitism. I have never gotten on this show, and I have never heard Pat Buchanan get on a radio program or a television program and the millions of appearances he's done over the decades he's been in politics, and just get up there and start bad-mouthing Jewish people like they bad-mouth us. I have never seen him do that. I have never done it. In fact, I've never even been around anyone that I've ever heard in my life engage into a commentary that you would rightly suggest as being anti-Semitic. When I think of something as anti-Semitic, I just think about people irrationally bashing folks because they're Jewish or because they were born Jewish. They have just a visceral hatred of them because they happen to be Jews, regardless of who these people may be. Personally, that's what I consider to be an anti-Semite. That's what I consider to be, you know, a textbook definition of racist. You immediately dismiss, you know, everyone of that particular creed just because of the color of their skin, and that's certainly not what we have done here. Although we are probably, you know, referred to as racist more than anyone else in radio today. But one of the things that the ADL is calling anti-Semitic. If you go to the ADL's website tonight. And I know I'm getting off the track of the press release here, but I'm gonna circle back to it. Don't worry. If you go to the ADL's website tonight, they talk about how anti-Semitism in America is more vehement today than ever before. In fact, there's just been, since the economic downturn, the recession, there has been a spike in anti-Semitic commentary, so on and so forth. What are they talking about? Well, they list as proof that anti-Semitism is on the rise because one of the questions they asked in a poll that was sanctioned by the ADL was, and they asked the respondent, do you think that Jews have too much control of Hollywood, or do you think that Jews control Hollywood? A significant percentage of the people said yes. And the ADL says that is an anti-Semitic response. That proves that there is a spike in anti-Semitism in America today. How does that possibly reflect what they're calling anti-Semitism? The fact is that there are, I believe, 9 major movie studios in Hollywood. You know what I'm talking about, Warner Brothers, Paramount, Columbia, so on and so forth, Disney. All 9 of them have a Jewish person as their owner, CEO, et cetera, all of the top positions in these movie studios are, in fact, headed up by Jewish people. This is not anti-Semitism to say, yes, you know what, I do believe that there is a disproportionate amount of Jewish power and influence in Hollywood. Where is the diversity in Hollywood? You know, the Anti-Defamation League is supposed to be so pro-diversity. That's not very diverse at all, to have 100% monopoly on the movie studios being headed up by Jewish folks, and not just Jewish folks, but in many cases, rabid Zionists, left-wing Zionists. But they say, if you believe them, and I say, if you believe them, because
coming your way right after
there is
messages.
A Jewish magazine, a very prominent Jewish magazine that came out a couple of years ago, and the title headline of the magazine was, "We Own Hollywood, Jews Own Hollywood." Well, if you believe them, you are an anti-Semite. That's what the ADL refers to as anti-Semite.
When the truth is found, to be...
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, folks, I really got to get down to business here because I've got so much to share with you tonight, and I went off on a slight tangent there. But again, the ADL sliming people as anti-Semitic for saying that, you know what, yeah, I think, you know, maybe Jewish folks do have too much power in Hollywood. Well, you know, they run all 9 studios, as they mention in their own publications. Anyway, back to the press release where they blasted yours truly and Pat Buchanan. The as I said, the Anti-Defamation League voices grave concern that Pat Buchanan political analyst for MSNBC, continues to openly express anti-Semitic, racist, and anti-immigrant views. In his new book, Suicide of a Superpower, Buchanan reiterates many of his bigoted views, which are nearly identical to those of self-declared white nationalists. Some of his outrageous claims, they write, include blaming the downfall on the United States on racial diversity and attributing the decrease in the Jewish population to a collective decision to have abortion. Buchanan recently appeared on the Political Cesspool radio show, which is run by James Edwards, to promote his new book. It was his third appearance on the show. Ooh, how evil of him. Buchanan has shown himself time and time again to be a racist and an anti-Semite, said Abe Foxman, the ADL national director. Again, anti-defamation league, yet, you know, they dismiss Buchanan as a racist and an anti-Semite. They don't dare argue anything Buchanan has said on this show or any of the other ones or in any of his books or in any of his years when he was in the White House. But they just call him a couple of names and expect it to go away. But Foxman continues, it is especially disturbing that he continues to be given a platform to espouse his views at a mainstream network like MSNBC, where he is presented as a knowledgeable and respected analyst. Buchanan continues to show his true colors by espousing hateful, bigoted statements in his new book. Folks, did anyone, obviously Abe Foxman and the staffers at the ADL didn't, but did anyone listen to my interview with Pat Buchanan? Was there anything hateful or bigoted that anyone with an open mind and a working brain could possibly draw? The press release that the ADL wrote only gets more heinous after that. They call Pat Buchanan an unrepentant bigot, a white supremacist. they say that Buchanan bemoans the destruction of Christian America as if that's a bad thing. I mean, I think it's terrible that the Christian faith in this country is eroding. It just goes on and on. You know, just constant defamation of Pat Buchanan from the Anti-Defamation League. But to that I say, welcome to the party, Mr. Foxman. Better late than never. Now joining the Bash Buchanan, Bash Edwards, Bash Cesspool party 2 weeks after the fact. But you know, and not that it matters to dishonest reporters and to dishonest left-wing agents like those in the ADL. But for the record, and for those who care to hear both sides, and not many people do, but I have never considered myself to be a white supremacist, and not in the least. Yeah, I consider myself, if someone asked me to describe myself, I would say, well, I think I'm a decent Christian man with traditional values who's concerned with the direction in which this country is heading. And they say, well, you're a white supremacist. You're pro-white. You're a white supremacist because you're pro-white. Well, if speaking out to advance the best interest of my particular ethnic group qualifies me as a supremacist, then those who work at the ADL are most certainly Jewish supremacists. You know, this, to me, is the double standard that never ceases to amaze us. When European Americans, such as myself, attempt to speak out on their own behalf, they're shouted down as Nazis and racists and bigots or worse. However, as we say on nearly every show, when minorities do the exact same thing, it's not only allowed but celebrated. Am I missing something here? Now, I certainly don't wish any misfortune upon the minorities, as the media so often likes to pretend. Nothing could be further from the truth. But I do love my own family. I love my own family a little bit more than I love people from other families. And I'm naturally going to want to gravitate towards the folks who share the same history and culture and heroes and faith that I do. Isn't it perfectly normal to want to preserve and protect your cultural heritage, to preserve your faith? I mean, yes, I prefer the people who go to my church more than the people that go to the Muslim mosque. It doesn't mean that I hate the people that go to the mosque, but if given a choice, I'm going to want to preserve the dignity and the integrity of my group. I think that's a God-given right, but white people are prevented seeking a level playing field the same way that minorities do, because we're subjected to this malicious name-calling. And anyway, I certainly dismiss the ADL's press release as hyperbole, your typical standard left-wing smear. Pat Buchanan, in fact, said the same thing on National Public Radio a few days ago, and we played that clip for you on the show last week, but he basically said, you know, when asked about the ADL's critique of not only our show, but himself, and he said, well, listen, the ADL calls me worse names than they call James Edwards in this radio show. And basically that's what the ADL does, in case you haven't noticed. They typically engage in smearing and name-calling if you hold up a political viewpoint that differs from their own. And that's exactly what they do. But, you know, going back to that interview, and they always, you know, all of these news articles that are seeking Buchanan's firing always inject the fact that he appeared on our show and the interview that he had with me. Look, if a conversation as polished as the one that Pat Buchanan and I engaged in 2 weeks ago qualifies one as a white supremacist and an anti-Semite, then God help us all. And if you are a white supremacist and anti-Semite because you agree with the conversation that Pat had or you have sympathies with us, then maybe the ADL is right. Maybe everyone in America is truly an anti-Semite, because if the qualifications for being an anti-Semite are that low, then any decent person should be one. But Winston Smith wrote a good article, too, my co-host. You know, he's handicapped right now, if you will, suffering an infirmity. He has lost his hearing, and God bless him. But so he's not able to contribute on the air as often as he usually did. He's currently in line to get a cochlear implant, so hopefully some of his hearing will be restored, at least to the point where he can come back and join us. But he can still write, and he still has his mind. And for an intelligent reaction to the controversy, the manufactured controversy caused by my talk with Pat, I encourage you to read the response written by him. And he talks about the true Nazis, if you will. And it's certainly those who seek for the destruction of those with whom they disagree. And that's, you know, you've never heard Pat Buchanan or myself engage in such vitriolic name-calling and call for the firing and economic, you know, engage in acts of economic terrorism, calling for people to be fired just because they don't see the world the way we do. Never has that happened, but it happens every day with the left. As I said, the ADL saying 80 million Americans are infected with anti-Semitism. 80 million. How many Americans are there? 300 million? A third are anti-Semites? What are they talking about? But that's what they say. It's a wacky claim. Abraham Foxman says that 45 years ago, one-third of Americans were seriously infected with anti-Semitism. And it's just as bad, and that's in addition to the 40 million who are mildly infected. And if you're mildly infected, if you think that, again, going back to Jewish folks control Hollywood, well, they say they do. If you believe them, you're an anti-Semite. You know, and why are we the only radio program in the world having this conversation tonight? You know, why are people so afraid of what the ADL thinks? And they are just a left-wing issue advocacy organization. They're set up to supposedly advance Jewish interests, although I don't see how attacking decent, hardworking, tax-paying Americans like myself and Buchanan aids the Jewish cause. But if they were there truly to advance Jewish interests, I'd say that's great. NAACP, great. Let us have one, too. We'll all respect diversity, but still... push our own group interests, and we'll all be better for it. We got to take a break, folks.
They don't cry. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. Big girls
don't cry. Welcome back to the show, everybody. I appreciate everyone indulging me here and letting me respond yet again. I know we've spent so much time, so many segments over the last three shows, either talking to Pat Buchanan or talking about those who are talking about my conversation with Pat. I do believe that it is important that you respond to these charges, even if you're only reinforcing your position with your loyal base of fans. You can't take these lying down. So many folks out there, good people, just cower in fear. They're overcome with paralysis when they get attacked by one of these left-wing dogs. these attack dogs, these groups like the SPLC and the ADL. Well, I promise you, very few people in this country have been subjected to more abuse from the ADL or the SPLC than me. And I'm going to wake up tomorrow, and the sun's going to rise, and I'm going to go about my business, and I'm going to enjoy life. It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world that you're not on their, I would say, Christmas card list, but they don't celebrate Christmas, obviously. It's okay, though. It's okay. You live. You survive. You're not going to get invited to the $500,000-a-plate cocktail parties that the Republican and Democratic duopolies are throwing, but so what? You wouldn't want to go to those anyway, or you shouldn't. No secret that the ADL and SPLC hates the work that we do on the air here. We have been incessantly attacked over the course of the last several years, but never more so than the last 2 weeks. And it's they hate us for a very simple reason. We're white, we're Christians, we're conservatives, we're heterosexuals, and we're proud of our Southern heritage. And to that, to them, is like a double hat trick. It's pure evil. And they attack us because we don't apologize for anything in that list above. And we've been pretty successful in articulating our very traditional paleoconservative viewpoint on these issues. But furthermore, as you know, a great deal of our show is dedicated to exposing the egregious double standards and hypocrisies that reign inside the halls of these leftist attack organizations. As we've said twice tonight already, how perfectly natural and healthy it is for them as minorities to belong to organizations that seek to promote their interests, but it's racist hate for groups like ours or shows like ours to preserve and want to protect Western civilization. Stuff like that. Now, typically, we choose to mock their childish behavior and name-calling. Sometimes, though, their hypocrisy knows no bounds whatsoever and leaves me absolutely stunned. Despite having been witness to their disconnects for years, not too long ago, the ADL released a statement that caused me, even me, with as much as I've seen and endured, I even had to pick up my jaw from the floor. The ADL blasted Newt Gingrich in a press release not long ago because he compared someone to a Nazi. In fact, this is what the press release says. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich assured the ADL that he recognizes the horror and evil of the Nazi regime and did not intend a comparison between Nazis and the Democratic leaders in his new book to be a statement of moral equivalence. We welcome Newt Gingrich's efforts to clarify his remarks both in the book and on the book tour, said Abraham Foxman, ADL National Director. This is the part that made me pick my jaw up off the floor, ladies and gentlemen. Abe Foxman said this, and I quote, "As we have said many times before, Nazi comparisons are inappropriate and have no place in American political discourse." If you fainted, I hope you're not driving and you fainted. That could cause someone to run off the road. Staggering hypocrisy. Abraham Foxman said again, and I quote, "As we have said many times before, Nazi comparisons are inappropriate and have no place in American political discourse." This is the same Abe Foxman who, on countless occasions, have denounced this program and Pat Buchanan even more recently as Nazi. It's inappropriate when, I can't even call Newt Gingrich a conservative, God knows. It's inappropriate when, I guess, Gentiles, he's at least that. I guess it's inappropriate when a guy like Newt Gingrich calls someone a Nazi. But the ADL makes a living defaming people as Nazis and white supremacists and so on and so forth. I'm still scratching my head over that one. The ADL absolutely makes a living by comparing conservative activists to Nazis. They outright say we're Nazis, which, again, for the record, is absolute hogwash. But there are hundreds, if not thousands, of other examples out there of the ADL and similar organizations denouncing conservative activists as Nazis. And I guess you just have to laugh to keep from crying in situations like this, but the ADL says it's inappropriate for people like Newt Gingrich to compare people to Nazis, but it's okay for them to do the same thing? I mean, that's amazing. But in fact, when you really sit down and think about it, what decent person or group in America hasn't been condemned by the ADL or the Southern Poverty Law Center? Now, think about it. You believe in the New Testament, then according to them, you're an anti-Semite. And that's not an exaggeration. You're an anti-Semite if you believe in the New Testament. If you believe in the New Testament, you have to believe that you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in order to get to heaven. Jews obviously dismiss Jesus Christ. And so therefore, as a Christian, you, unless you believe in this flawed dual covenant that some of these phony pastors are preaching today, all right, so they'd say you're an anti-Semite because you don't think they can get to heaven. Did you buy a ticket for Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ movie? Well, then you're a neo-Nazi. You think it's best if white people marry other white people? Then you're nothing but a Klansman. You don't think two men getting married is the greatest thing since sliced bread? Well, then that makes you the reincarnation of Adolf Hitler. You don't think homosexuals should be leading Boy Scout troops? Then you're worse than Hitler. I know that a lot of the people, or a lot of people, I should say, have come to poke around this radio show over the course of the last couple of weeks as a result of all the publicity it's gotten, the Buchanan interview. I know there are a lot of newbies around here, either listening tonight or visiting the blog. And this radio program and blog, you know, certainly welcomes new fans each week. And you may be shocked at some of the ugly language and some of the reports that have been issued about it. That's all right. It's only because you don't understand, and it took me a while to figure this out myself, but you don't understand that the way the ADL uses words is not the same way that most people use them. So we actually put this up on our website some time ago. I'm going to have to refresh it since we're in the middle of another ADL assault. But you got to have the ADL to English dictionary. You got to keep it handy for when you're reading any of the reports that the ADL writes, whether it's about me or Newt Gingrich or Pat Buchanan or anybody else that they hate. For instance, the word white supremacist in ADL language is anybody who doesn't hate a white person. An anti-Semite is any non-Jewish white person. A neo-Nazi is any white person who openly disagrees with an employee of the ADL. A racist is a white person. So you take that ADL to English dictionary, and you go and you apply those new definitions to the words, and then perhaps their articles would be a little bit more factual. Perhaps then, and only then, would they make more sense. But enough about the attacks. Enough about the attacks. Reinforcement, as I said, have finally arrived. It's getting pretty lonely out there on the front lines until William Flax, who is a prominent attorney in Cincinnati, he's been fighting for traditional American values since high school, very intelligent man. He's been on the show before. He runs a website called Truth-Based Logic, which represents itself as the most conservative venue on the internet, and he is the author of the Conservative Debate Handbook. I mean, literally. I actually have a copy of it on my mantle at home. It's literally called The Conservative Debate Handbook. That's not a figure of speech. William Flack wrote The Conservative Debate Handbook. Anyway, he wrote a very nice article. I don't have the time to read it to you tonight because I do want to read a little bit about what Chronicles Magazine had to say about all this, but it's a read that everybody listening to the show tonight should partake in. If you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight, and I guess I'm basically giving you an incentive to go there, go to our official internet headquarters, thepoliticalcesspool.org, look up the article, Conservative Writer William Flax Fires Back at the ADL, Defends Buchanan and Edwards, and you will see a great response to the treachery of the ADL, and Establishment Beltway Washington conservative publication Chronicles Magazine has written an article. I'm going to share it with you right after this break. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, folks, we've spent the last couple of segments, three segments, wading through all of that garbage that's been leveled against us. Now, finally, someone has had the courage, someone in the establishment has had the courage to write a sensible defense of Pat Buchanan, and indeed of this radio program. It comes from Chronicles Magazine, which, as I've said, folks, is a very beltway, mainstream Republican magazine. You know, it's certainly much more moderate than this program, so I don't know how much of interest it would be to my listeners, but it's taken seriously in D.C. circles, and it's been around a long time, and it has done some good. But here's what they write. For two decades now, Pat Buchanan has been warning us of the dangers our country faces. When he first started sounding the alarm at the end of the Cold War, those dangers were hard to perceive. Now they're hard to ignore. Pointless wars in the Mideast have resulted in thousands of American casualties and the waste of hundreds of billions of dollars. Our trade policies have led to the loss of millions of manufacturing jobs and 50,000 factories and an increasing dependence on foreign nations, which both provide us with goods we no longer make and our own debt. Uncontrolled immigration has driven down wages and driven Americans out of the job market in some areas and is posed to radically transform the country. The great American middle class is reeling, in part because of the downward pressure on wages caused by free trade and mass immigration. Unregulated finance has brought the nation to the brink of economic ruin, and the loss of a common faith and common culture threatens our national unity. All the while, the federal government has continued to grow and grow, constantly assuming duties it does not have, while failing to exercise those it does. Pat Buchanan was called many names for raising these issues, but he has been right, and his critics have been wrong. Now, Pat Buchanan has written a new book, Suicide of a Superpower, Will America Survive to 2025? This book continues to raise many of the issues Buchanan has long stressed and shows where we are likely to end up if we do not change course. It's well-written, well-researched, and highly persuasive. It is likely to be of interest to most Chronicles readers. This book also challenges head-on the ideology of diversity and multiculturalism. The book just this week debuted at number 4 on the New York Times bestseller list. Its reception is also illustrating one of Buchanan's themes. Diversity has become a religion, the new religion of our elites, and it's an ideology not terribly tolerant of dissent. On October 24th, 2011, a prominent political website ran a piece entitled 12 Pretty Racist or Just Crazy Quotes from Pat Buchanan's New Book. Most of these statements are either purely factual or conclusions drawn from and supported by facts. Among the pretty racist and just crazy things Buchanan says is, quote, the white population will begin to shrink should present birth rates persist, slowly disappear. Hispanics already comprise 42% of New Mexico's population, 37% of California's, 38% of Texas's, and over half the population of Arizona under the age of 20. Mexico is moving north. And, quote, if Heather McDonald's statistics are accurate, 49 of every 50 muggings and murders in New York are the work of minorities, which raises the question, is it pretty racist to notice reality or just crazy, Chronicles asks. Not to be outdone, The Color of Change, a group founded by Marxist ideologue and former official in the Obama administration, Van Jones, has demanded that MSNBC fire Pat Buchanan. The first charge against Buchanan is that he just published a book which says that increasing racial diversity is a threat to this country and will mean the end of white America. Apparently, anyone expressing trepidation about the fact that the Census Bureau projects that by 2042, whites will, for the first time in history, no longer be a minority, no longer be a majority in the United States, should be excluded from public life. The second charge, and here's where listeners of this radio program should pay attention, is that one of the 100 or so interviews that Buchanan has been on to discuss the book is hosted by James Edwards, whom Huffington Post quotes as describing himself as being pro-white. The Color of Change on its website states that, quote, it exists to strengthen Black America's political voice. Color of Change's goal is to empower our members, they write, Black Americans and our allies, to make government more responsive to the concerns of Black Americans and to bring about positive political and social change, end quote. Chronicles continues in this defense of Buchanan by writing, in the political world Color of Change wants to create, allowing yourself to be interviewed by someone who describes himself as pro-white should be enough to get you fired, but wanting to strengthen Black America's political voice is okay. And you know, that was so simple. That was so simple. They very simply pulled off the mask and unveiled the double standard. Bravo to Chronicles for doing that. They were the first establishment media entity to say something so sensible. Other groups, they continue, are trying to get MSNBC to fire Buchanan. In an interview about the book on the Diane Rehm Show on National Public Radio, Buchanan described homosexual conduct as unnatural and immoral. In response, the president of the Human Rights Campaign, a homosexual advocacy group, has stated that MSNBC should sanction Pat Buchanan as his extremist ideas are incredibly harmful. Pat Buchanan believes that sodomy is unnatural and immoral, yet that is an extremist idea. Now, again, folks, I want to be an extremist. I want people to know me as an extremist if the definition of extremist means that you think homosexuality is immoral. I do. Sign me up. I believe that. I'm a Christian. I believe that. No word yet, though, Chronicles continues, from the Human Rights Campaign on how long people should be allowed to read the extremist ideas of St. Paul, both of whom expressed the same view of homosexuality that Buchanan did. For all the cry over Buchanan's supposed hate, the emotion that runs through Suicide of the Superpower is not hate, but love. Buchanan sees the country he grew up in and loved passing away, and he wants to raise his voice in defense. As Buchanan writes in one of the 12 pretty racist or just crazy statements highlighted by his detractors, quote, Americans who seek stricter immigration control have been charged with many social sins, including racism, xenophobia, and nativism. Yet none has sought to expel any fellow American based on color or creed. We have only sought to preserve the country we grew up in. Do not people everywhere do that without being reviled? What motivates people who insist that America's doors be held open until the European-American majority has disappeared? What is their grudge against the old America that eats at their heart? These are fair questions. Buchanan does not advocate legal privilege for whites or discrimination against non-whites, even though those calling for him to lose his job do advocate discrimination against whites by means of affirmative action, a form of discrimination that is apparently meant to continue even after whites become a minority in America. Buchanan merely opposes an immigration policy that, by favoring non-European immigrants, is bringing about a radical transformation to America. It's hard to see why white Americans should welcome their own displacement as America's majority, even though the message is being sent by those calling for Buchanan to lose his job is that white Americans must welcome their own displacement. Folks, there's a little bit more to that column, but I believe you get the gist of it. And again, congratulations and bravo to Chronicles Magazine for not only defending a good man, Pat Buchanan, but for having the courage to defend me as well, and to point out that if it's okay for organizations like the Color of Change to exist, whose mission statement reads, that they exist to strengthen Black America's political voice, then it must be okay for me to have a radio program that exists to strengthen white America's political voice. They must either both be okay or they must both be wrong. And certainly no one is saying that the NAACP is wrong or Ebony Magazine is wrong. Congratulations and thank you, Chronicles, for having the courage that so many in Washington, D.C. conservative circles lack. Thank you for standing with me. Ebony Magazine, by the way, I just mentioned them, and I know we're coming up on the end of an hour, but I'm going to read to you a letter to the editor that was sent in by a black woman to Ebony Magazine. She writes, "I just read two articles in your August 2000 issue about buying black. They both made compelling arguments that moved me to want to redirect my spending to black-owned businesses. I was surprised to find that there were no resources or websites or publications to assist us in finding such black-owned businesses.
There's a third hour.
That would have been a tremendous benefit to readers if Ebony Magazine would list these in a future publication." A black woman writing into Ebony Magazine applauding the fact that they are encouraging in their publication that black Americans buy from exclusively black-owned businesses. And that is not racist, but by God, we are. You see the double standard. I got to take a break and get a drink of water. I'll be back.